This morning we will be in the Gospel of John, all the way at the back. Find the book of Acts, turn one page backwards, that's where we'll be. Alright, as you make your way there, I'm going to read a passage from Luke, chapter 5, starting in verse 3. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he, that is Jesus, asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So Simon and the others were net droppers. These were professional fishermen with decades of experience. They had cast nets, drag nets, rods and reels of every kind, all kinds of tackle, anything you can think of, ropes and anchors and everything. I bet Simon's boat was probably something like a 22-foot Carolina skiff with a center console, Yeti coolers, and 175 outboard on the back. Simon probably had a pretty serious boat. So Jesus revealed himself to these fishermen. He showed them a glimpse of his power, and they dropped their nets, they tied off their boats, they left everything behind, and they followed him. So think about that while you make your way back to John 21. We're going to walk through this verse by verse, but let's think about what's been going on recently in this particular account with these guys. The disciples had been with Jesus in Jerusalem for some time now, about 3 years. Not necessarily in Jerusalem for 3 years, but recently they've been in Jerusalem, and they've almost been arrested. They've been betrayed by one of their own. They've seen Jesus on trial. They experienced the crucifixion, also the burial of Jesus. A couple of them saw the empty tomb, and Jesus even appeared to several of them and gave instructions that we see in Matthew's gospel, "Go to Galilee and wait for me on the mountain." It's pretty simple instructions. So read with me in verse 1 of John. "After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias," which is the Sea of Galilee, and he revealed himself in this way. "Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus or the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee," that's James and John, the same guys who were there in the Luke passage we just read, "and two other disciples were together." Now, it's speculated that most or all of these men were originally from Galilee, and likely most, if not all of them, have at least some fishing experience. Fishing was a big trade in that area. "So Simon Peter said to them, 'I'm going fishing.' And they said to him, 'We will go with you.' They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing." Let's consider that for a minute. Jesus told them to wait for him on the mountain. What did they do? They went fishing. Also, Simon, who's always been the leader among the disciples, even when he makes the wrong choice, he's very, very influential. These guys, they jump at it when he says, "All right, let's go do this thing." So he pretty much said, "All right, fellas, who's going with me? Because I'm going fishing." And they said, "Hey, count me in." Now, these guys know how to fish. They knew where the fish would be. This was not their hobby. This was their profession. So they knew what bait to use, and they fished all night, and they caught nothing. So in verse 4, look there with me. "Just as dawn was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. We see this in all the Gospels. After Christ came back from the dead and was raised from the dead, he appeared to the disciples a number of times, but no one recognized it was him until he revealed himself specifically to them. Something about his countenance something we're not quite sure, but until Jesus had specifically revealed himself to them, they didn't know it was him. So they didn't know it was him. And Jesus said to them, "Children," which is kind of like saying, "Hey, fellas or lads, do you have any fish?" Now that's an embarrassing question to ask a fisherman, especially when the answer is no, as it was for the disciples. He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they did. The disciples obeyed this command immediately. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. Now, something that really strikes me here is Simon's impulsive behavior. He threw himself into the sea. He had to be with Jesus now. It sounds a little weird that he put on his coat, but Eastern customs show that if you were going to meet with a superior, you had better be dressed. And Peter immediately recognized Jesus. He said, "I've got to be there. I better be right." So he put on his coat and he threw himself into the sea. Now, he didn't know whether Jesus was going to rebuke him for leading the other disciples to fish instead of going to the mountain. Maybe Jesus was going to chastise him for denying him three times. Peter didn't stop to think. He just did it. Nothing is timid about Simon Peter. Think about that. So immediately, he sought to be with Jesus. John MacArthur puts it like this: as fast as Simon Peter is to fail, twice as fast he seeks to be restored. How about you? Do you do that? Peter often acts before he thinks, but at least he isn't sheepish. As believers, we all at times have been on the sea when we should have been on the mountain. I know I have. Maybe that's where you are now. I've been there many times. When the Spirit convicts you of your disobedience, do you immediately seek restoration? Do you throw yourself in the sea like Peter? What do you do to seek a right relationship with Christ? What is your reaction? May the Lord make us all like Peter in this way. So back in verse 9, when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish already laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was Jesus. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So Peter and James and John and the other disciples, they had disobeyed the command to go to the mountain. What did Jesus do? He made breakfast for them. Jesus, the Lord of creation, God of the universe, the one without whom you cannot catch a single fish, and the one who can fill your nets beyond capacity, made breakfast for them. He prepared breakfast for the men who had wronged him. Now, in those times, if someone had wronged you and you wanted to show that you had forgiven them, it was customary to serve them a meal. And Jesus does this here. Certainly this was on their minds. I wonder if the Jesus thoughts wandered back to when Jesus fed the 4,000 or the 5,000 this same meal of fish and bread. He had them bring some of their fish to grill, but what they were already eating had been prepared by Jesus' hand for the purpose of restoring them and bringing them back into fellowship with him. This is how it always is. Jesus pursues us first. We are prodigal sons and daughters of Christ. We wander and screw up and make a mess of things. And how does Christ respond? He pursues us. He loves us in spite of our sinful nature. This is a very sobering thought for me as I was preparing this week. I hope it hits you just as hard. At first, my gut reaction is, wow, what failures. These guys saw Jesus in person. They lived out the gospel record for 3 years. How could they possibly mess this up? It was a simple command. But really, if I'm honest with myself, I'm a failure just like these guys. I see God's hand. I hear the command. And I make an effort. But often I decide to go my own way and do my own thing. I need restoration more often than I like to admit. Jesus restores sinners like you and me every day. And that's good news. In these next verses, Jesus has a more personal conversation with Peter, though they're still with the others. See in verse 15. When they'd finished, this is Peter speaking. Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus gently rebukes, and this is part of the restoration process. So Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said this to him a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know my heart. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. So Jesus had three questions for Peter, just as Peter denied Christ three times, just days before. Now, there's lots of talk about the differing words used between Jesus and Peter here, whether phileo or agape. And certainly there's significance there, but I want us to focus on the big picture of the flow of the conversation. As Jesus is saying this to Peter, what he's saying is, can you really claim you love me more than these guys do? Peter was grieved, understandably, as Jesus questioned whether he loved him. He questioned his devotion, questioned his affection. Peter was grieved, and understandably so, but he made a mess of things. I would be too. By this time, maybe he felt completely worthless or unqualified to serve God. I know I've felt this way, even just in recent weeks. But Jesus gives a command every time Peter answers the question, saying, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. Jesus didn't say, Peter, you're out of the club. Instead, Jesus takes the lowly Peter and not only allows him back into his fellowship, he forgives him. He affirms his place among the church and reinstates Peter among the disciples. He also reminds Peter that if you follow Christ, it means following unto death. John writes in verse 31 of chapter 20, but these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Life in Jesus' name is always better than any life we could conjure up on our own. We were made to be at peace with God, to enjoy him, have a right and growing relationship with him. This is our purpose as sinners who have been redeemed, preaching to the world that we have been restored to God in spite of our failures. This week, pray and ask God to reveal to you if there are areas in your life where you are fishing instead of seeking him on the mountain. Ask him to give you an opportunity to tell others about our Redeemer and the work he has done in you. Ask God to reveal your failures, repent from your old ways, and go forward, knowing that Christ, who restored even Peter, also seeks after you and me, and does so with breakfast and fellowship waiting. I want you guys to look at verse 19, the very last part. Underline this. Follow me. Let's follow Jesus together this week. Pray with me. Lord, I'm a failure. Prodigal in nature, acting like the old man. But Lord, you offer restoration in spite of my actions. Lord, thank you for the fellowship that you have provided. Lord, help us all this week as we go forward. Lord, keep us in you this week. Keep us faithful to you. In Christ's name, amen.